Calling the Council of Mount Jackson to order. Do we have the roll call, please?
Ms. Faltz?
Here.
Ms. Miller?
Here.
Mr. Andrick?
Here.
Mr. Shepherd?
Here.
Mr. Rudy?
Here.
Ms. Good?
Here.
Mayor Piper?
Here. Now, if y'all would join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any agenda additions, deletions, or changes? All right, hearing none of them. Do we have a visitor? All right. Remarks by the mayor. I don't really have anything right now, so if I think something later, if I can get that in. How about remarks by the council members? Anybody got anything they want to say?
Real briefly, if I could, Mr. Mayor, the covered bridge appears to be repaired. It looks lovely. I went through there late last week, and it's just about put back together again.
That's great.
Compliments to VDOT and their associates.
That's great. All right, we got a presentation, but our presenter's not here right now, is it?
Just like yesterday.
All right.
It's a tractor.
His honk is slower than everybody else's.
All right. Chief, do you have anything you want to report?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Town manager report.
All right, I've placed before you, along with a copy of the agenda, a copy of a written town manager report. I don't want to do that, but I had some time this evening. Wanted to point out that the swimming pool is wrapped up for the summer. You can see there, we had 1,321 individual swimmer admissions. We had 22 family and group passes sold, and 7 pool parties. Our total receipts for the summer were $7,385 on 33 total swim days. Again, I wanted to thank our pool manager, Sam Clark. We went into the spring, and of course, Debbie too. We went into the spring with COVID we still had COVID restrictions that weren't lifted until Memorial Day. We didn't know whether or not we'd get off the ground, but we did get off the ground. And despite a few hiccups along the way, I think we had a successful pool season. And I want to thank Debbie, for one, who daily had to pay attention to one thing or another at the pool. And to Sam, who for the first year I thought did pretty well as pool manager. Last month, I reported to you that the COVID moratorium on water cutoffs was about to expire at the end of the month, and that we had more than 20 service cutoffs that we didn't know whether they were going to make it in to pay their bill or set up an agreement or not. As it turns out, we only have three customers cut off at this time. Everyone else either paid up or they got an agreement in place, I'm happy to say. And so three is not that much different than what normal activity has been over the time that I've been here. North End sidewalks, we keep inching ever closer. Jeff Lineberry of VDOT asked me to update the environmental due diligence checklist, which is a form where we tell them that we've followed all the environmental instructions that they had, and I was able to send that in today. They're not waiting on any information from us. We're waiting on the okay from them. We expect it any day now. Tomorrow, I expect to submit the consent order signed by our side. Our attorney from Aqua Law, Dick Sedgley, described it as a fairly good deal. It will formally commit the town to the installation of that influent flow equalization basin that we have discussed at several meetings. And primarily looking to fund it with a loan and grant combination from rural development from the USDA. One last thing, there'll be a grand opening, I guess, at the county government center on October 1st. But beginning October the 4th, the Shingo transit buses will be running through the county. They'll be making a stop in Mount Jackson at the Holtzman Complex 6 times a day. So if we do have anyone that wants to ride, make use of that service, it will be stopping here. The fare is $1 per rider, and really a lot of information about the time of the stops is on shingotransit.com. That's my town manager report for this evening.
Okay, thank you. I did have one other thing that the 23rd, I believe, is a Thursday. There's going to be a ribbon cutting and a presentation up here at the houses that Habitat for Humanity and Triplet Tech in a joint effort created up there on Shando Street. I think the one address is called 273, and I forget the.
Yeah, it's right there. It's on the corner of Shenandoah and whatever that street.
So, I'm going, so if y'all, I know it's not a good time today. It's like 3 o'clock, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but if anybody can make it, that would be that'd be great, really would, because that's a good thing.
Yeah. So I'll be on vacation that day, hopefully.
Yeah,
but,
hope so. Okay, well, that's the 23rd of September. On Shenandoah Street at the end.
Yeah. They built a couple of nice.
They're very nice houses. Uh-huh. I rode up there and looked at them. They're very nice.
I thought they were quite nice.
Will you put that in the TW3?
Okay.
Would you mind doing that?
All right. Committee reports. Mr. Shepherd, the finance is on there first.
Indeed it is. Very, very briefly, we will have auditors in the house starting on the 29th of September. That's always a joyful occasion for our staff. You're probably been 2 weeks looking at pages and pages of numbers. And Mario and I are kind of wrangling back and forth about some type of a quarterly report to council on town's financial position as far as expenses and revenues and things like that. We're gonna figure out something that's quick, easy to read, that doesn't require 30 pages. So we'll get back to you on that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Ordinance Committee.
I have nothing reported this time.
All righty. Personnel Committee?
I'll be speaking to a piece of new business later, so nothing right now.
Public Safety.
Yes. The police report for August, there were 922 calls, 182 down from July. They had 9 criminal offenses, 5 cleared by arrest, 2 closed, leads exhausted. 2 closed, victim declined prosecution. They conducted 44 foot patrols, conducted 699 extra patrol and property checks. And the rescue and fire, the total responses were 104, 85 EMS, 19 fire. Total Mount Jackson calls were 38, and total volunteers taking calls were 21. And there was a note at the bottom of their report. Unfortunately, due to the COVID resurgence, we have had to temporarily stop all functions in our event center. We are monitoring the pandemic situation closely and will reactivate the event center as soon as safety possible.
Thank you. Public services.
Nothing at this point.
Public properties?
Nothing to report.
All righty. That brings us to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the August 10th regular meeting?
I so move.
Is there a second?
I second.
Any discussion? Do we have a vote?
Ms. Faulds?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Andrew?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Ms. Good?
Yes.
All right. No old business unless someone's figured out something that I didn't know about.
No.
So, new business. Mr. Showalter, did you want to present that? Or do you, Roger?
You were going to be opening it for us? Yeah.
I'll at least kick it off, and I won't try to speak for the Personnel Committee, but I'll try to give you the thought. I don't think it comes as news to any of you that the town is growing, and growing more complex than it's ever been. And along with that, the demands on the staff have grown and become more complex than they've ever been. And in the personnel committee met last month to discuss that and took a look at the demands that are being made on the staff and the outside expense that we're incurring to review what in some cases are fairly straightforward land use applications. And the personnel committee stands ready to recommend that the town create a position, a staff position, the planning and development administrator, who that person would be somewhat of a technician in the area of land use and development, that would be the one primarily reviewing the zoning applications, and when possible, keeping them in-house and keeping the review among our own staff and planning commission, and only calling on outside resource for the very difficult and technical applications that come in. And some of them are pretty hard. We would have to call the engineer because we don't understand certain aspects of how the construction or of water and sewer runs and that type of thing. Or there may be state laws involved that would require outside attorney, or even we've been, as you know, been using Darla Orr from the Berkeley Group to help us interpret some of the state laws that are coming into play. This person would also fill a need that we felt like has been growing, where some of this person's time could be spent to promoting and expanding the town's recreational, cultural, and entertainment activities. And that's another aspect of this job. Now, I have attached to the memo the cost to the town of a base salary range of $40,000 to $60,000. Newmarket hired a similar individual for the mid-40s just this past spring. The person had experience on a county planning staff, had a good technical knowledge of planning and land use issues, and also had a degree. Our anticipated person would have similar experience and similar educational background. Part of the cost of this person would be covered by the nearly $60,000 a year we're paying for outside help on land use issues. The additional amount would be taken for this year out of contingent money that we have, which is in excess of $400,000 right now. After that, then that person's compensation and benefits would be part of the regular general fund budget process. Now, Roger, as chairman of the personnel committee, what have I left out?
You've been pretty thorough, Daniel. I have been, as we all do, tending to listen carefully to Neil's town manager reports at each meeting, and also the TW3s that we receive. And it impressed me over a period of many months, the wide spectrum of issues and projects and tasks that the manager has in front of him. And I think with our last meeting, it was mentioned that one of the things that's requiring some time is the review and shepherding through of at least like the 9 different zoning applications. And that takes a tremendous amount of time, not to mention all this other consumption of energy and time that's dealt with sidewalks and Andros and the DEQ and all this stuff that's out there. And that's what prompted me to have a discussion with the mayor and also with Neil. And from those discussions, then asked the personnel committee to come together to review these things together. And if you had a chance to read the summary of that meeting, you can see that it was a unanimous decision on the part of the personnel committee that we needed to have a person on board in Mount Jackson who would be the planning and development administrator to help shepherd these things and really provide the town the kind of services it needs when things are becoming more complex and more technical and so forth. And so that's the recommendation we're bringing before the council this evening. And if Rod, if you and Whitney or Mr. Mayor, if you all would like to contribute, that would be fine. You're welcome to it.
I think it's pretty well covered. I think that to keep things cruising along and keep people's applications, of course, we know there's certain, like you mentioned, Bowman, and there's certain things that we really need to stay on top of and have somebody with a sort of a dedicated level of expertise. And I think in the job description, you can see we also, as we know, when you work in a small town, you're going to do a little bit of everything. So I think the job description leaves that open to their, you know, other duties as assigned.
Mm-hmm. Which would encompass the responsibility or the use of that person to promote Mount Jackson's cultural and recreational activities that Neil's already mentioned. We wanted to have that part of the role and responsibility too, which kind of goes hand in hand with planning and development.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Yes.
Now, go ahead.
Well researched and well looked through already.
Yeah, I think it's been a need that's been there for a while. So we're not rushing into it, I don't think.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Good.
I could agree with that totally. It's such a disadvantage that small towns have, that the economics of it isn't that you can hire the people you need for all the many types of decision-making and overseeing things that have to be done. I think it's about time, and I would much rather see a staff member be here looking at the problems we have right here, talking to our people, and have that person to stay with us in the community rather than having someone from another part of the county, not county, our county, but another county even, trying to make decisions for us when they're not as close at hand and can't take advantage as easily of the folks that are around here. That could add to the discussion. So I am totally in favor of it.
That's great.
And Bonnie's point reminds me of something else we talked about in the committee to endorse this, is when you outsource something to whatever, you sort of lose control, so to speak, and we don't always get responses or answers or information we need timely. So it delays our helping developers move along with their projects, and we're waiting on someone else to tell us, okay, here's what you need to do, and we have to turn around and communicate that to the developer or the person who's waiting for an answer. And that can create some tensions among people who want to get things done, and we're trying to help them, but we have to turn to another source to pull their chain a little
That's
bit.
A good point.
So we really thought this would help us to be more responsive to the developers and people who are trying to do things in town that we need to have done, better services to our community.
Mr. Andrew, I forgot to point out that the Planning Commission last evening voted to unanimously endorse and recommend to the council that this position be created. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. We all agreed with it. I'm sitting here. It's a very good move for us. Very good move for us.
Well, it sounds like we can take action on that.
I would like to make, as a representative of the personnel committee, make the motion that we advertise for a planning and development administrator as soon as possible.
I'll second that. You can second it.
Okay.
All right. Is there any discussion? The motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Do we have a vote?
Ms. Faltz?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Andrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Ms. Good?
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Tom, we got a couple more items here, if it's all right. We'll put you right at the end.
I thought it was 7:30. Are they always at 7 then?
Yeah, we moved them to 7.
Yeah, we moved it up to 7.
I'm sorry. Okay, well.
I apologize.
We bring more items here, so. Next item is the proposal for the tree service at Union Church.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I can read my memo, or you can speak to it, whichever you prefer.
Go ahead.
All right. Last week, Mayor Piper forwarded to each of you some research and some observation at Union Church and some research he had done about getting some outside help to trim back some of the trees and bushes that are there to improve the appearance of our Union Church that we're very proud of here. That the estimate of that work also indicated that there would need to be a spring visit and a fall visit in order to do it properly, because you can't take one big whack and not injure the plants involved, the trees involved. And in looking at the budget, we didn't have any money this year put away. Just to back up a little bit, 2 years ago we fixed the roof for about $25,000, and last year we appointed the brick for about reappointed the brick, $12,000 to $15,000, that's what I sort of remember. But so this year we didn't put any money in, but we do have some money available in the tourism line items that total $35,000, of which we've spent $10,465. That money having gone to the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival, and also some expenses we had in putting up the banners, the veterans banners. So there's considerable money there. We also have money in the contingency fund that would cover it as well. And so I'm recommending to the council that we accept this estimate from Dave's Landscaping and pay it out of the tourism budget line items.
Does he do other work for us?
The name's not familiar to me, but
do we get any other estimates, or just?
The mayor was able to line this up.
I would have looked at it. That's fairly reasonable. I think it's very reasonable.
He does an awful lot of work around town.
Yeah, and it's not the amount where our procurement policy would require bids on it.
Yeah.
It's beneath our procurement.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing it to you is because we don't have a budget line item for it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the mayor's recommendation to expend $2,000 for some tree and shrubbery maintenance at the Union Church Cemetery.
I second that.
Per visit. You got two visits. So we need $4,000.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I thought you said $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 visits?
Yeah.
Sure, 4,000.
Okay.
Motion is amended.
I'll second the amendment.
All right. Motion has been made and second. Is there any discussion? We have a vote.
Ms. Faltz?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Andrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Ms. Good?
Yes.
Thank you all. Next item, town hall COVID protection measures.
All right, I sent to you a memo in which I explained to you that at the end of May, when the governor's executive order 72 expired and most masking and social distancing requirements had expired, that the Shenandoah County 7-day average of new COVID cases was four per day. Since that time, they further declined and then began to increase, and are increasing at an increasing rate. The last I checked, which was September the 8th, the 7-day average of new cases in Shenandoah County had risen to 22 per day and continued to rise. in discussing with the staff who office here and the part of the staff that does not office here, the staff would like to recommend to the council that we re-adopt the measures requiring masking by all visitors to the town center, regardless of vaccination status, and require 6-foot distancing to be implemented as quickly as the staff can accommodate the re-adoption. We'd have to repost our signs and make sure we had the supplies and that type of thing. The citizens would continue to be welcome to attend public meetings, but masking and distancing would be practiced. That's what I'm proposing to you for your consideration.
All right, we're gonna discuss that. I'm assuming y'all wanna discuss it, but probably is there a motion to
I'll make a motion that we adopt it.
All right. Second?
I'll second.
All right, is there any discussion?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, do we have any indication of town staff's vaccination status? Are they all on board? Do we have a lot of people?
Pursuant to the action of the council and direction you gave me last month at the council meeting, I had the staff report their vaccination status to the town clerk. The tally that the town clerk showed me indicated that we had 9 persons who were not fully vaccinated on staff. One of those persons is in the process of vaccinating. I had not collected any new information from the town clerk to see if that number had changed, but we have 8 that are reporting as non-vaccinated at this time.
And one of those received the first shot.
And one of those has received the first shot. So we do have members of the town staff who are not fully vaccinated.
Okay. We should have a discussion about that tonight, ladies and gents, about what do we do about our staff who does not want to be vaccinated. I encourage having them vaccinated. Since June 1st, the estimated medical bills for the unvaccinated people who have contracted COVID is now at $6 billion, basically over 3 months. Those are expenses that they've incurred. I worry what the health insurance company will do when they get ready for the new policies and they say, oh, by the way, what percentage of your staff is vaccinated? And if we say, we got these 6 people don't want to be vaccinated, what, number one, what's that going to do to our premium? And that premium will be passed on to my constituents, and I don't want to see that happen. Don't know if that would happen, but I certainly don't want to leave that door open. Just today was announced the Pentagon. My military folks will be vaccinated. No question, you will be vaccinated. So maybe, do we consider taking a sterner measure and require our town employees to be vaccinated? I'll put that question to all 6 of you.
Either that or be tested once a week and come back with a negative COVID.
If I may, that's a good, it's a good discussion to have, but I think this it off the track from what we're looking at here. We're just saying, what do we do about people coming into the office to conduct business?
Yeah. Have we voted on that, man? We did vote on that. Was voted on.
Okay.
That was passed. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Like I said, open the discussion. What do we do about our town employees who have refused to get vaccinated?
I don't think we have the right to force them to get vaccinated.
We have the right to have them tested once a week. If they don't get vaccinated, we have the right to get them tested.
That's fine, but I don't think we have the right to force them to take the vaccine.
Does the employee bear the cost of the weekly test? They do, don't they? That's what I was taught.
Yes, as far as I know,
there is no. I was recently tested for another reason, but there is no cost of the test.
So if you did it weekly.
Yeah.
Okay, weekly.
The state, if you're a state employee, the state agency has to pay for the test. Because I just spent about $20,000 at work on tests for employees that are unvaccinated, and they have to be tested weekly. And they take it home and administer it themselves. I'm for following state guidelines, like state agency guidelines, which is you have to report your status If you choose not to, or your status is you're unvaccinated, you have to be tested weekly. But my assumption is that the town would need to pay for that, or at least put forth the effort to work with CVS or something to work out the details of when, you know, if we could send our employees or a town friend to the hospital. Did you say you called Mount Jackson and they are not doing it?
No, I called Mount Jackson Pharmacy about vaccinations.
Okay.
And that they can call if they get vaccinated that same day.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I confirmed with them. I didn't confirm any testing sites or
yeah.
anything like that. Because we have, the direction from the, and I reported this to you in the TW3, the direction from the personnel committee was that we were going to offer an incentive, allow the employee to go on town time to get vaccinated, and also offer, if staff achieved 100% vaccination rate, a gift card, a small token to each member of the staff. Those incentives are in place right now, which was to run until October, I can't remember the exact date, 9th or 10th, something like that. Those incentives are what were in place now, but we were hoping would incentivize.
I was hoping when we talked about that the number was less than 6.
Yeah, I think I anticipated a smaller number
yeah.
being non-vaccinated. I mean, yeah, a smaller unvaccinated people, but it's right now it's 8 working towards 7. Is that right,
right
Debbie?
Right.
So we do have 7 that at least haven't reported that they have.
If we go with this idea of requiring weekly tests, would it be along with the understanding that the individual could, those who are going for the test could go for those tests during work hours and give them leave time to go have the test done?
They do it at home. They give them a test, they take it home.
That's an option,
okay.
Is an at home one.
Yeah.
But I also think if you're not willing to disclose or you are unvaccinated, you have to wear a mask all the time. If there's a person in your general vicinity, you have to be masked. That would be my opinion.
I think that if I read it right, that the, of course it might have changed since then, but that the employers of more than 100 people, the employee is responsible for that weekly test financially. I think we should find out if that's the case before we if that's accurate or not before we.
That was a federal mandate, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll step up to the front and I'll be the hardliner on this thing. All of our town staff need to be vaccinated. Period.
You gonna fire them if they're not?
You know what? When I come to that, that'll be their decision.
Well, then it would be your decision how much money you're gonna spend to defend something you're gonna lose.
Well, that would be up to the attorney to discussion.
This discussion makes me so uncomfortable because I cannot understand people not wanting to make their environment safer for everybody. I just can't understand it. It doesn't seem reasonable that folks should ignore what we're dealing with, all the death that has been dealt around, all the sickness and pain. And it goes on and on, and it will continue to go on until there are no more carriers. Until everybody has reached a point where they're not going to be getting this, and it won't continue to survive then.
This shot, you can still get it with the shot.
I know you can.
It's not like a vaccine.
The possibility of you dying from it is reduced significantly.
It
We're not just talking about.
Do you, know John Curtin Call?
No.
Okay, John's son is a, I don't know if he's x-ray technician or what exactly he is with the hospital. He got the shot, he's going blind.
See, I don't, we can't get into that.
That's not.
That's, you can't force somebody to do something because they don't want to.
That's hearsay, and.
That's not hearsay.
It is hearsay. I don't know anybody in here who has a medical degree. So I don't think that any of us should be giving medical information or opinions.
Right.
Unless we have a medical source readily referenceable. So I think we can share our opinions and what we feel is best for the town staff, the town residents. But getting into, I know a person of a person, or I have heard this, is irrelevant and not helpful unless we're quoting facts from the CDC, Dr. Green at the health department. Then I think, and I know that our town manager gets the daily report from Dr. Green, so I think if we need relevant statistics for Shenandoah County and our health district, we refer to Neil, and he has that information from our health director. Yeah.
There is no guarantee that if you get a flu shot, if you get a shot for anything, I mean, those of us that are older get multiple types of shots to not get different things, that somebody might be adversely affected by it. That there are not, it is not a significant number of people is obvious because that's never been in the news. I mean, there are things that are happening that we know can happen. Even if we don't know that they actually did, because there's no proof that that's what caused one thing caused the other. The overall problem is that this virus is dangerous, and it's dangerous to everybody, even children. And the only way we can protect each other and protect ourselves is to get some inoculation to try to prevent it from spreading. That's the bottom line.
We've got two separate issues here, right? I mean, the original motion and second was for the protection measures for the town hall.
Yeah, right, and the public visiting the town hall.
And that's what we have the motion and second on.
Right, and I believe we've already voted on.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think we did.
We did.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did.
We did.
Okay. All right, well, who wants to step out and make a motion on employee vaccination?
I'll do that. I make a motion to require town employees to be vaccinated. Make a requirement that town employees begin the process of being vaccinated. And if they have a medical reason or a doctor's excuse, I think we can counsel with the town manager and let them review that. But strong encouragement to get our town staff and their vaccinated, because they're good people and I want to see them protected. They're smart, hardworking folks.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Can I offer some staff advice on that motion?
Yes.
It takes time to get vaccinated. You might put
a time frame
with that.
It's the first shot and then 6 weeks later the second shot?
6 weeks. Probably 8 weeks, isn't it?
No, it's
30 days.
28 days.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or up to 6 weeks.
You add that time to your motion then?
So we should have everyone done by November 1st.
All right.
In the meantime, I think we should add in the meantime, anybody who's not vaccinated must be required to wear a mask. Does that not
report?
We already did that.
That was just for the people coming in here.
That wasn't for the employees.
Well, yeah.
All right. Rob, would you like to restate that motion to include all that?
Yes, let's get this wound up here and make a vote on it. requiring town employees to be vaccinated on the same guidelines that's being used at the Department of Defense for our servicemen and women. We have a deadline of full vaccination by November 1st. If any employee has a significant medical issue or a doctor's issue, they can discuss it with the town manager. And we'll talk to the personnel committee and see what they want to do about that. And of course, the mask, if an employee is not vaccinated and they're in a closed area, masks are required. If they're out mowing somewhere.
I'm sure where that's going.
It's mine, it's all mine.
So, I think that covered it.
All right, Bonnie, you still willing to second that?
I secondly second it.
All right, any more discussion on this issue? Do we have the vote?
Ms. Faltz?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
No.
Mr. Andrick?
No.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Ms. Good?
Yes.
All right, that passed. Now, we have one more item before we let Mr. Whitehurst speak. The town policy on food vendors on town property.
All right.
Do you have that?
Over the course of the time that I've been in the town manager seat, we've had various vendors, food truck type vendors, approach the town about possibly setting up in the park or here in the parking lot or at the mayor's park. And up till this time, I have declined those requests. We do allow food trucks to set up on private property if they have the permission of the property owner. But I didn't feel like I had the permission of the town council to allow that to happen on town property. Our food truck checklist that I go through when I visit the food trucks on the property, we have certain requirements as to trash and their cords. You can't have generation cords out where they affect the public. There's a certain amount of cleanliness that's reviewed, those types of things. It's important that they have a way of handling their trash because food trucks do generate trash. So I thought maybe it was time to get council's opinion to see if they would like for me to continue to decline those food truck requests other than during in our sponsored events like the festival and that type of thing. Of course, we would allow it then. But I would just be interested in how the town council felt about allowing. For instance, I have an application sitting on my desk right now for an ice cream vendor who vends at the Bowman plant, but asked about whether they could come to the park and vend there. And I haven't given permission for that. But I'd be interested in what you thought about that.
What does the permit application, what kind of information do they have to provide on the current mobile restaurant permit application?
The town code actually has a list of requirements. The application has some of the basic information like who and what they're going to sell and the hours they intend to operate, and there's a place for the landowner, the property owner, to sign off. But it's basic, it's pretty basic information. Then I don't have a copy of the application here, I probably should have brought it along. But it's a checklist, do they have adequate trash containers? Do they have their noise level under control? Does it bother other locations? Without reading it off of the zoning ordinance, I just can't remember them off the top of my head. But it's pretty basic. It's pretty basic. Because the question is, are we going to allow it or we're not? Most of the things that they might answer no to are correctable on the spot. So it's not a high bar, but we do have to think about whether we're going to let people onto the town park.
Is this a one day thing or a once a week thing or?
They do have to indicate on the application when they hope to sell. Like Stripes Donuts has just started. They're only selling once a month on the property that they're on. Some of the food trucks try to sell twice a week. There was one at Holston's that was selling for twice a week. I'm not sure they're continuing. There's two trucks that are at Bowman Andros that are selling three times a week. We allow them there's no regulation as to how many hours they can sell or how many days.
There's no regulation other than Bowman Andrews says, yeah, you can.
That's true. They have to have landowner permission to.
So basically they're catering to those people.
That's their target audience, yeah, yeah.
I would feel a little bit uncomfortable if we had people selling food on the street and we have a shop right downtown here that is having a terrible time trying to stay in business because there are so few people that come through at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Add less of a,
yeah.
Or it would detract from.
Yeah. Not only do they have to get a food truck permit, they have to get a business license. So the town code does have a business license
right.
For food trucks.
Right, but
yeah.
I'm just a little bit worried about.
Yeah, I'm worried some too about whether I think it's a role of government to provide a place for a food truck.
Do we have any liability on that?
Yeah, and
I'd run through that truck first.
Yeah. And for that and other reasons, is why I've declined it up to this point.
I think we would have some type of liability.
Mm-hmm.
On that.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion that at this time we do not allow the food service trucks to.
Yeah, there would be the town's policy not to. Permit that other than special events.
I'll second it.
On town property.
On town property, right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, you all heard the motion and a second. Is there any more discussion?
And town property is being defined as these three sites that you have listed here.
That's pretty much it. I mean, that's it. Other than maybe the dumpster site back here.
What about the mobile, like the ice cream truck that, you know, 2 years ago was going through town. Is that separate if they don't park?
That's a different license, yeah. That would be allowed if they do the right hoops on the license, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of leading to my question is, does that not allow them in these spots? Does that permit them to go elsewhere?
Well, we have regulations on the books for vendors who bring an ice cream truck into town.
Okay.
But my question was, do we as the property owners want to give the permission to them to establish, to set up on our property? And what I'm hearing is no, that there's a motion on the floor that no, we do not, we want to have the policy of not permitting that at this time. And frankly, that's what Woodstock doesn't allow it. Edinburgh does allow it. I didn't hear back from Strasburg or Newmarket.
Any further discussion? We have a vote.
Ms. Faltz?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Andrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Ms. Good?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, Mr. Waiters of OFW. All right.
Apologize again for being late today. Okay. I've been working on this project for the last, for the last 2 years or so. You know, wanted to see how the first phase of solar turned out. I've been working with the solar company, and you know, there's been some rules that have changed in Virginia with the tax code. And so now, you know, we've been very happy with the solar on the property. We're proud of the site. As you can see, it's called OFW. We named it after our mother, Olivia Fredericks of Whitehurst. So, you know, they've made this offer where, you know, we have phase one that's built right now. There's two and three that are already approved, which they plan on building. And then this is the proposed phase four. The win for the town with phase four is if phase four is approved, they're gonna combine two, three, and four into one large site, which it'll be the same as phase one. I mean, it'll be considered overall as one site instead of, you know, multiple smaller sites. This in turn, with the tax changes in the state, by adding this 128 acres, will revenue over 50% more in tax money for the town and the county. So just because of the way the taxes are structured between small sites and large sites, that's a big boost. And then by bringing in this new site and it be combined with two and three, that brings two and three in to the new tax bracket, or however you do. So it is a good bit of money. The town's gonna get, you know, $2.5 million over the 35 years, so roughly $71,000 a year. The county, which I wish got nothing, gets $6.7 million. You know, the town's done everything, and I think deserves a lot more. But it will be a big revenue boost without any, you know, added stress on schools or fire or rescue or police or trash or, you know, any resources. It will be, you know, as you can see, phase one will be. So I'm very excited about it. We're gonna have our official announcement next month. The solar company will be coming and answering questions. You know, I implore everybody to, you know, if you have questions, be ready to ask. You know, last night at the Planning Commission, there was a question about the panels being recycled. I talked to them today. They are going to explain how they were recycled. You know, briefly on that, a lot of times the manufacturer buys the panels back and refurbishes them. So they are recycled. I know that was one thing that was brought up. But, you know, and one of the reasons I'm here today is I know that hate group had reached out and sent emails to everyone. I mean, if you kind of go through it at the end and start opening some of the attachments, you'll see it's, you know, a lot of stuff that's going on in the Middle East, not in the U.S., that they're more concerned about. I will say from, you know, hearing from the grapevine, they showed up to a meeting, this hate group, in Rockingham County, and, you know, I would just be wary of what you say to them, because they will, and they will fumble your words and spin them the way they want to. So, not talking to them, that it's your choice, but just be wary what you say. They will misconstrue things. I'm very excited about it. You know, as I say, two and three, they are ready to move forward. I've been working with Neil in the town since January on this project, so we're, I think ironing everything out. And if anybody has any questions, you know, like I say, we'll be doing an official announcement next month, and then, you know, we're hoping to have the public hearing in November, so.
What I did when they, not this time, but the time before, when they started bombarding me, go talk with Neil.
I tell you, I'd like to just add from the staff that the information you've received has not been submitted to the staff nor been reviewed. There is a formal application that's in the process of review and has, right now is actually in the developer's hands, responding to review comments. I just want you to know that what you're receiving this evening is a presentation by a citizen and not a formal application, nor has it been reviewed by staff. So you have to accept it with that in mind. If the developers get all the questions answered in time, and we assume that they will, and get their application complete, that application will be presented to the Planning Commission at their next meeting in October, along with a staff memo, or a staff review memo. So it would also be introduced to the town council and set for a joint public hearing in November. But the application is not complete. We expect it to be. We're waiting on a response that they are supposed to have to us any day now.
They should have it, I think, any time. I know they wanted to discuss a few things, but it's
we have
all the information that's been asked for. They plan on submitting. It's just the time frame.
Yeah, we have a Zoom conference tomorrow at 9 a.m.
So. Okay, good.
I think I'll say the only, I think the project's really neat. I think it's pretty unique to Mount Jackson. I'll say the only feedback I would give as a citizen who drives that road frequently is in the future, like, phases, they definitely need to do a better job of the handling the mowing prior to, as we wait for the pollinators and the native grasses. I think that was the eyesore. The solar panels look awesome,
right?
And then there's weeds and shrubs, and I think if they can keep that maintained and under control,
yes,
then there would be, you know, I don't know what complaints folks could have if that wasn't an issue.
I haven't been happy about the way it looks either.
Yes, your front yard. So
yeah, and I they've had issues, and I've been discussing. If you go out and ride around the site now, I'm not allowed inside the site, but you'll see I've done an extensive amount of work the last few weeks around the perimeter, cutting off everything around telephone poles, cleaning ditches, and I plan on doing that. We're actually, this year I did it for free because I said it was going to look nice, and it would look nicer on the inside too if I was allowed in it. But I'm working with them. We've been in contract to do the mowing on various parts myself, so I can guarantee it will be taken care of. And the inside, they've had issues. You know, they use a company called Nature Chem, and the reason they went with it, they had a local company on one of the other sites do the landscaping, messed up a lot of modules, so they went with Nature Chem, who's mowed solar sites for a while, and they banked on that they do a lot of VDOT work. Everyone knows how VDOT does stuff. They're not happy with that company either, but they were signed on a contract, and we're in talks about that right now because none of us are happy with it.
Yeah.
So I when the grass is tall, it messes with the panels, it grows into the wires. I mean, they're having issues because of it. The company went in and sprayed and killed grass. I mean, it's gonna be much different next year. So, and I apologize for the way it looked. I haven't been happy either about it. So that's why I went and took care of it.
How can you keep pollinators going without the world turning into a big mess?
Pollinators?
Mm-hmm.
I think pollinators are a good thing.
Oh, I think they're a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have a farm. If you leave it in just one thing and nothing else, and it just keeps on growing, what happens? Trees and bushes and all kinds of stuff in there.
Right.
Well, how's that going to be handled?
What do you mean?
I mean, the trash that grows up along with the pollinators.
Oh, no, it's gonna have to be cleaned up. I mean, it's gonna have to be mowed substantially until the grass can sustain itself and choke out the weeds, and that's gonna take time. Right now, on the Georgetown side, where there was a lot of weed issues, we sprayed, killed everything off, plant millet, which was VDOT spec for that time of year. Then we've gone back, cut the millet, we're gonna spray again, and we're actually gonna plant grass by the end of this month. They have multiple different grass varieties that'll be growing in the back, and then, you know, then it'll go from there.
But it'll go from there into the animals that fly in the sky, dropping stuff all around that property.
Well, and
all the time, it'll be consistent. I'm wondering, how's it gonna be managed? You'll have trees and bushes and
well, no, if it's constantly
it's
mowed.
It's not gonna be a pretty yard of pollinators.
Well, if it's constantly mowed, you know, and kept at the rate, it should, the grass will choke out the weeds like it would in your yard or anywhere else.
Can I jump in?
I think my battery died.
Can I jump in? Can we save the questions for the formal discussion? I believe we're getting into gray territory here, and we need to have it when formally announced and formally done. I appreciate Mr. White and his time and information, but I think the council would be wise to wait until the formal meeting.
Sounds good to me. So we thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Look forward to the next one.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you all for letting me speak today.
Mm-hmm. The next item is our closed session. So,
right.
Councilman Shepherd, would you like to?
I guess I'm in charge to do this. Let's see. I move that the Council of the Town of Mount Jackson convene a closed session under Virginia Freedom of Information Act, State Code 2.2-3711A1, to discuss personnel involving specific officers, appointees, or employees of the Town of Mount Jackson, for the purpose of considering such individuals' assignment, appointment, promotion, performance, demotion, salary, discipline, or resignation.
Is there a second, Mr.
Thank you, too, so. Do we have to vote on that?
I'm not sure.
Yes, we do.
I'm thinking, okay.
We have to vote to go into closed session.
All right, Ms. Faltz?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Andrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Rudy?
Yes.
Ms. Good?
Yes.
We are in